A Sabbath Rest for the People of God, Part 2. For the second half of the devotion, I would like to give three testimonies in a condensed form of three great evangelists as published on the website preaching.com. The first is the testimony of D.L. Moody. Moody devoted himself solely to his religious service in 1860, took a leap of faith in leaving secular employment, forming the Illinois Street Church in the USA was a natural development of a ministry with an increasing need for adult involvement in a growing Sunday school and the financial support provided. The church reached approximately 800 members within a few years. Influences on Moody's spiritual development included Mrs. H. Phillips, the owner of his rooming house, who helped him grow more deeply in prayer and scripture studies. A deeply spiritual awakening began on a personal level as Moody became interested in the Plymouth Brethren and specific work of George Muller, who had a large ministry in orphan schools. While not accepting all of their theology and rejecting some of the Brethren's approaches, Moody was interested in their piety and scriptural inerrancies. A third ember in Moody's smouldering heart waited to burst into full flame was the influence of Henry Morehouse, a young preacher from Dublin. Henry's passionate sermons on God's love transformed Moody's heart. From then on, Moody saw and declared the love of God in Christ. During the winter of 1871, while in New York City, Moody had a singular spiritual experience. Pell records Moody's testimony. Prior to the Great Fire, two godly women came to his meetings regularly. After one service, they told him, "We have been praying for you." He inquired why they did not pray for the people instead. They replied, "You need the power." He was astonished. His ministry was hugely successful, with the largest congregation of Chicago. Still, the women prayed for him and talked with him about anointing for special service. Moody asked them to meet with him. They knelt and prayed that he might receive the Holy Spirit's anointing. He recalled, "I didn't know what it was. I began to cry as I never did before. The hunger increased. I really felt that I did not want to live longer if I could not have the power for service." Not long after this experience, the great Chicago fire occurred. He said the loss of his house did not affect him so much as a desire for divine power. All the time he went about his regular ministries, he was pleading that God would fill him with his spirit. Then Moody said, "One day, in the city of New York, oh, what a day. I cannot describe it. I seldom refer to it. It is almost too sacred an experience to name. I can only say, God then revealed himself to me, and I had such an experience of his love that I had to ask him to stay his hand." Moody would not have described this as a second blessing, and there is no evidence it was a charismatic experience. As to the effect on his preaching, Moody testified, "I went to preaching again. The sermons not different. I did not present any new truths. And yet hundreds were converted. I would not now be placed back where I was before the blessed experience if you should give me all the world." Let us hear the second testimony about Stephen Olford, who was born in 1918, whose parents were missionaries in Africa. Biographer John Phillips, a longtime friend, recorded Alford's experience. When Stephen Alford dragged himself off his deathbed, dropped on his knees and cried to God for mercy, longing for the Lord Jesus to be made real in his life, God met him. Alford recalled, "For the first time in all these years, I experienced the realization of the glory and wonder of an indwelling Christ. I suddenly became aware that this broken, battered body of mine was a habitat, a dwelling place for the Son of God. And oh, the peace. I didn't have a Bible open before me, but to wonder that his body of mine was the very dwelling place of the Son of God was so overwhelming that I just stayed there on my knees. Eventually, I dragged myself onto my bed, and a wonderful peace came into my heart. Glory to God." Committed to serving the Lord vocationally, Alford had now fully understood the power of the Holy Spirit in his life for ministry. He testified, "While I believe I received the Holy Spirit at the time of my conversion as a young lad, I did not understand the meaning of the fullness of the Spirit until I was past 21. Then I discovered it is possible for the Holy Spirit to be present without being president, to be dormant without being dominant, to be resident without reigning. The Holy Spirit can be quenched and grieved in a believer's life. But when sin is exposed and self is executed, the Holy Spirit can fill to overflowing, anoint with authority and power. This experience I entered into after much agony of heart, study of the Scriptures, and appreciation by faith and obedience." During World War II, Alford became aware of a spiritual desert in his heart. "At this point in my spiritual history, I became increasingly aware of a deep inner dissatisfaction. Something was missing. My soul hungered and thirsted for the presence of God and the power of God." He was strongly influenced by a local pastor evangelist whose testimony challenged him. He closeted himself in a room and pored through a suitcase full of books. He was especially touched by the testimony of D.L. Moody, who inwardly hungered for more of God and eventually experienced the empowering anointing of the Spirit. Finally, laying the books aside, he read what the Scripture said about being filled with the Holy Spirit. He recalls, "Without reading further, I dropped to my knees and yielded everything to the reign and rule of the indwelling Spirit. No glory filled the room, no vision filled my eyes, and no tongues were uttered, but I knew there and then that I was set free. The fetters and frustrations were gone. I hadn't to wait to preach to know that I had been liberated. There were tears in my eyes, but peace in my soul." He then went back to Scripture to confirm this acceptance of the Spirit and understood he was then to walk under the continual dependence on the Spirit's control. When he surrendered afresh to the sovereignty of God, he declared, "God set me free." Later, Alford recalled with regret the years he lived without the freedom of Christ's Spirit. "It is possible to be indwelt by a grieved spirit. For a number of years he was grieving in my life. During that time God seemed so unreal and remote. Then I allowed God to break me. I confessed my sin. I sought cleansing. The Holy Spirit was given his rightful place as the Lord of the Spirit, and blessing filled my life once again. I proved that getting right with God leads from black sliding to brokenness into blessing." Alford characterized the Spirit-filled life as the freedom of obedience. His exaltations of newfound freedom in Christ began and continued in this truth. This is the seal of the new life in Christ, not only in the possession of the Holy Spirit, but the position of the Holy Spirit. It should be evident to all that our lives are controlled by the Spirit of God. Reflecting on his spiritual journey, Alfred declared, "The supreme discovery of my life has been that the Holy Spirit is in a believer's life, that the fullness and anointing of the Holy Spirit are not only blessings to be experienced, but imperative to be obeyed. I found out that the Spirit-filled life is normal Christian living, and anything less is falling short of the glory of God, a missing of the mark. Moreover, to attempt to serve, either in prayer or in preaching, without the anointing of the Holy Spirit, is to offer to the Almighty the fleshly efforts of Cain instead of the spiritual sacrifices of Abel." Alfred's ministry had been a continuous testimony to what can happen when one surrenders completely to the indwelling Lord Jesus and appropriates the fullness of the Spirit of God. Speaking to a global gathering of itinerant evangelists, Alfred declares, "Without the power of the Holy Spirit, the best evangelistic talents and techniques are worthless. We may manipulate results, but we will never reap spiritual harvest." From that transformational experience of freedom in the Spirit, Alfred's preaching was forever changed. Evidence of his Christ-centered, Spirit-focused philosophy of preaching is found throughout his book, Anointed Expository Preaching, co-authored with his son David Alfred, by acknowledging the role of the Holy Spirit in expository preaching. One thing is certain. No preacher can fulfill his ministry in terms of his life and work without the lordship and leading of the Holy Spirit. Alfred believed every phrase of sermon preparation must be bathed with the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us finally hear Billy Graham's testimony. In his autobiography, Graham says his contact with British leaders, especially Stephen Alfred, deepened his personal spiritual life. A biographer, John Pollock, goes much further in describing this watershed event. Coming to England for his own meetings, Billy Graham and his team attended another conference featuring a young Welsh evangelist, Stephen Alfred, who preached on the text, "Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit," taken from Ephesians 5:18. After the service, Graham approached Alfred and asked why he had not given an invitation. "Because he would have responded himself," Billy said. "You've spoken about something I haven't got. I want to know the fullness of the Holy Spirit in my life too. I want what you've got." Graham and Alfred spent 2 days in a hotel at Pontypridd, studying scripture and praying together. Graham prayed, "Lord, I don't want to go on without knowing this anointing. You've given me my brother. I don't want to go on without knowing this preaching you've given my brother." On the same day, Alfred shared his testimony of the Holy Spirit's fullness and anointing. He told Graham, "There's no Pentecost without Calvary," and insisted that Billy must be broken before God could use him and fill him. Graham said, "Stephen, I see it. That's what I want. That's what I need in my life." They knelt, and the 28-year-old Graham prayed with tears-filled eyes, offering himself totally to the Lord. At last, Alfred recalled, young Billy rose with joy, exclaiming, "My heart is so flooded with the Holy Spirit." They praised the Lord as Graham shouted, "I have it! I'm filled!" This is a turning point in my life. The change in Billy Graham's preaching was dramatic and immediate. That same night, Alfred later wrote, Billy Graham preached to a packed house with the anointing of God. Before he was able to give the invitation, people began coming forward. Ultimately, nearly the whole audience responded to Christ. Alfred recalled, My own heart was so moved by Billy's authority and strength that I could hardly drive home. When I came in the door, my father looked at my face and said, What on earth happened? Young Alfred replied, Dad, something has happened to Billy Graham. The world is going to hear from this man. The Spirit's claim on Billy Graham did not go untested. Just as Satan tried to disrupt our lives, what he cannot prevent from beginning, even so the enemy realizes the powerful tool the Spirit-filled evangelist was in God's hands. I want to finish this devotion by telling a story of a couple's experience while visiting a magnificent Anglican church. On entering, they were met by a tour guide who showed them around the church. At one point in the tour, they became fascinated and stopped to watch a cleaner using a vacuum cleaner vacuum up the dust in the aisle and around the pews of the church, meticulously feeding the machine into every nook and cranny. Once the cleaner had completed his task, he went back to turn off the electric switch and unplug the vacuum cleaner. But to his astonishment, he had not switched on the vacuum cleaner at the commencement of the operation. He had used up all that energy and done all that work for nothing. See, the operator was deaf and would not have known the vacuum cleaner was not working. Let us not continue to be like this cleaner. If we do not know the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit living and working in and through our lives, all our efforts will be ineffective and fruitless. The words of this song we can use as our prayer. The song reads, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. When you experience the infinite power of the Holy Spirit in your soul, the love of God will empower you and give you that passion to go and tell. As this song says, written by Graham Kendrick.